98DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. An Air India plane on its way to London crashes in northwest India. The plane went down near the airport in the city of Ahmedabad. ABC's James Longman is at the foreign desk.
This looks like an enormous tragedy, likely one of the worst aviation disasters in Indian history. 242 passengers and crew were on board this Air India flight when it crashed in a huge explosion earlier this morning. You can see the plane in videos that are online slowly descending before briefly disappearing behind some buildings. And then moments later, you see a massive fireball erupting into the sky. Smoke from the site is visible from miles around. Right now, firefighters and rescue teams are at the scene. But the plane seems to have come down into some apartment buildings, so it's likely there will be casualties on the ground.
King Charles and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer are being kept updated on the crash. The Boeing 787 Dreamliner was headed to Gatwick Airport. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A government watchdog group has filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin seeking to prevent Elon Musk and others from offering cash payments to voters. The lawsuit, filed by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, argues that allowing the cash payments creates a risk that the state's elections could be significantly influenced based on funding provided in support of a particular candidate. The state Supreme Court declined to hear a similar case during the April election, which aimed to block Musk from distributing $1 million checks to voters who signed his petition. Republican state lawmakers are proposing legislation seeking to increase price transparency for hospital costs. The proposed bill would create a new enforcement mechanism to ensure hospitals are complying with federal cost transparency laws. The legislation comes following a press release from the Wisconsin Hospitals Association highlighting a turquoise health analysis finding Wisconsin ranked first in the country for hospital price transparency. The analysis also found that no Wisconsin hospital had been fined for noncompliance with transparency laws. A Rice Lake man accused of leading law enforcement authorities on a high-speed chase in Ashland County after hitting a woman with a vehicle in 2021 has been sentenced to prison. According to court documents, 25-year-old Cody Stone entered a no-contest plea to charges of felony aggravated battery and misdemeanor operating with a restricted substance. Five other charges were read in but dismissed as part of a plea deal. Authorities say a blood draw taken after the arrest showed Stone was under the influence of methamphetamines and fentanyl. The last of four Webster residents facing felony charges in relation to a December drug bust in Burnett County has been sentenced. 50-year-old Christopher Merrill, 33-year-old Jacqueline Duncan, 42-year-old Lisa Anderson, and 47-year-old Ronald Anderson were all arrested in the drug bust that led to the recovery of methamphetamine, marijuana, and various drug paraphernalia. Merrill and Duncan were sentenced to prison in April, Lisa Anderson was sentenced in May, and on Monday, Ronald Anderson became the final suspect to be sentenced on amended charges. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a four-game series at home against the Cardinals tonight. The crew losing to the Braves yesterday, 6-2. Rookie pitcher Chad Patrick gave up five runs in five innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he's been so great for us. He's a rookie. He's never faced, you know, being in that spot. So maybe that's going to be a good learning experience for him. We still have full confidence. He still got through five.
NBA Finals. The Pacers beat the Thunder, 116-107, to take a 2-1 lead. Tyrese Halliburton says Brad Weber, his coach from Oshkosh North High, was at the game.
It's important for me at a time like this to talk to people whose opinions I respect. Coach Weber is one of those, you know, being my high school coach. Coach Prohm is in the back there, my college coach. You know, I've had many conversations with those guys. You know, these games can get crazy. And, you know, I think what I've learned from those guys as my coaches and Coach Carlisle, you know, is that people follow the leader.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers, mostly cloudy, with the more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires today. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms are going to drop into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 60s to near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn and saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, the Wisconsin Policy Forum drops a bombshell report on the impacts of the big, brutal bill in Wisconsin. I'm joined by their communications director, and we break it down.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning. It's June 12th, 2025. It's another morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. I can't say it's a beautiful morning for once, because I have a question for you. Can we build a wall around Canada instead? Can we forget the Mexico stuff? Can we build a wall and high enough to keep the smoke out? Because it is once again a smoky morning here on Lake Wissota, perhaps where you are as well. But we still appreciate you being here, listening across the radio network or on the app or YouTube or Facebook or podcast, and really appreciate you being here today. On the program today, it appears to be happening again in the Wisconsin legislature, where Republicans appear to show some willingness to compromise on an issue, only to turn around and add what's known as a poison pill, which is some other bill or amendment or language that's terrible and undoes whatever compromise Republicans were pretending to embrace. But then they have strings attached. We're going to talk to State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hasselbein about the progress of state budget negotiations, and I'll tell you more about what might be following when it comes to a compromise on funding the stewardship program here in the state. As you know, Melissa Baldoff not only does our climate check, she's a political strategist, a former top advisor to Governor Tony Evers. If you missed her near the end of our show yesterday, she has some thoughts on that new column by our colleague Dan Schaefer on whether the governor should follow Dan's advice and decline to run for a third term next year. In a little bit here, we'll talk about how our Confederate president is doing more now to put the names of sworn Civil War enemies of the United States back on our military bases. Sherita Booker reviews some popular events happening this weekend around Wisconsin. We'll talk to Chad Holmes about stories he's following in the Wausau area. We'll check in one more time with Joe Sopecki ahead of this weekend's Democratic State Convention. Sean O'Malley looks at how your money and the markets are impacted by all the latest news out of Washington, D.C. And, of course, we'll have our Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. Only a couple of more days of that as well. If you'd like to have a little input on the show, on the conversations, ask any questions, you can send us a text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also text us directly from the Civic Media app, and you're going to be texting us from that app in about an hour for that Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. And, of course, if you're listening on the radio and want to know if you can really watch the show, yes, you can. You can see what we're doing by heading over to the Up North News Facebook page or YouTube page or the Civic Media Facebook page or the YouTube page. You can also email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. But if you go to one of these social media channels and you decide to watch us, you'll not only see, you know, the latest from this Lake Wissota studio in its sexy new bookcase. But that sexy pink t-shirt that Parker Olson is wearing down there at Studio A2 in Madison. Mr. Olson, good morning. What do you got there? What are you sporting?
Funny you say sporting, Pat. This is a jersey, actually. Yeah.
I had that impression, yes.
Yeah, Ford Madison.
Tell me more.
Ford Madison FC. It's a soccer team. I think it's like minor league soccer.
Yeah.
That's in Madison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like soccer. I just like their branding. I just think the flamingos are cool, and I said, I'll buy it. Take my money.
Okay. And it doesn't say Madison or flamingos or anything. It says Dairyland on there. So it's like one of these alternate jerseys, I guess.
Maybe. No.
Unless it's, or is that
soccer.
Dairyland? Is that a sponsor?
It's a sponsor. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dairyland Cooperative, Dairyland Electric, I don't know. Whoever it is, thank you.
Restaurant?
Thank you for supporting. Okay, it could be that too. Yeah, clearly, Parker and I are going to be learning more about Madison soccer teams, and I do say plural because we have talked about how there will be more soccer action coming to Madison, men's and women's. I don't know if you want to call it professional, semi-pro, I forget now. So clearly, we need to get up to speed and tell you more. But right now, it's just a fashion piece.
Oh, yeah.
Parker Olson in his pink Madison Flamingo soccer kit.
I'm all about the fashion pieces, Pat.
All about it. You guys getting the smokiness up down there as well? Or
I don't think so.
Because yesterday was so much better, so much better. And then we noticed right around sunset, it was starting to come in again. And maybe it was just a scene setter because we are going to have, Tony says, this is so disappointing. Hop on the soccer train, guys. Well, you know.
Yeah.
The footy, I guess you'd call football. Brittany Merlot says a stalled weather front is set up, and it's basically just going to be a pipeline for showers from now into early next week. Not rain all the time, but there may very well be a soaking rain at times. And so we'll have her break things down in our next hour as far as, you know, what this stalled weather front is doing, where the rain is going to be. Her state forecast for today says partly cloudy. Scattered showers early in the day in southern Wisconsin. More will pop up this evening. Highs today around 70 up north, mid-70s south, and east wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Occasional showers and thunderstorms tonight. Heavy rain is possible, especially in the western part of the state. And lows tonight will range from just 45 degrees up north to 55 south. Southeast winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow here, we're going to be talking to a state Supreme Court candidate, Dane County Judge Chris Taylor, somebody who served in the legislature prior to being a judge, and now she is an announced candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court for that seat next year, next April, which tells you something about the races that candidates have to declare this early, although it's important to declare this early for somebody like Judge Taylor because she will be probably running against Justice Rebecca Bradley, who is the leader of the conservative flank of the state Supreme Court, arguably, through the incendiary comments she likes to make in her opinions. It's still possible that other candidates will get in the race. If that's the case, there will be a primary next November. And the way these nonpartisan elections work, you might recall, is in the February primary, it's the top two vote getters who advance. Doesn't matter if they're liberal, conservative, independent, whatever the case may be. So if there aren't any more candidates, then just the two will advance to April. Otherwise, in February, it will be the top two vote getters that advance to the primary. So Chris Taylor will be joining us in our 8 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's normally here in the 8 o'clock hour on Fridays, will join us for some of the questioning for Judge Chris Taylor. So that will be a nice addition to have to the show tomorrow. I'm just calling up today's Up North News Daily Newsletter. Christina Laurie puts that together for us Monday through Friday. You can sign up for it over at our website. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. She continues her series on Food Network's 25 iconic eats and drinks from America's Dairyland, and talks all about maple syrup. because we talk a lot about beer and bratwurst and cheese, but syrup is very much a part of the region's history and culinary culture. And so there are all kinds of things, including a USA Today list of 10 small batch maple syrups you need to try. And you may think, well, wait, syrup is syrup. It comes from a maple tree, right? You know, just the way that I thought honey was honey. And yet on that recent vacation that I took, there were these various, wine tastings and things like that. And they gave us three different types of honey to try. And one was what you would just consider to be, straight honey. One of them, the bees were primarily working fields of lavender. And another one was rosemary. And there's such a difference in color and in taste. I mean, surprisingly so. I mean, how often do you taste two different honeys back to back? I think if I gave you any one of them, you'd go, okay, that's honey. But when you taste test them, you really get that feel for the difference. So when Christina tells you in today's newsletter that there are 10 different small batch maple syrups you need to try, believe her, because there is really a difference that way. Let's see. She's got something for June Dairy Month as well, and that deals with butterfat and the butterfat content of milk. I mean, nobody really talks about it, but it matters in terms of, again, the ingredients that you're using. And so she has a story about that, including a link to some only in Wisconsin ice cream shops. So again, for that and more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click on the newsletter there. Parker, are we being corrected by Luke Mathers here?
We did.
Okay, what does he say here? They are a USL1 team, that would be Madison, and a lot of fun to watch. And the proper name for what Parker is wearing is a kit. Well, we said that already, but it's a USL1 team.
Which I'm pretty sure is just
leads us to the next question, of course, of what is a USL1? And I know there are a lot of Flamingos fans in Madison, and I understand they might be ripping their hair out right now. But for the other 5 million of us outside of the Madison area who don't follow this team regularly, we would like to learn more. So, yes, Tony, you can put up on YouTube that you're so proud of Luke, but for all the rest of us, be patient. We're learning. It all starts somewhere, and it does not necessarily start with a love of soccer. Sometimes it's love of the T-shirt. Yep. Oh, I'm sorry, the kit. So there you go. We mentioned, did we get to this yesterday, or did we not?
No, Brian, I believe Wilson. That was after.
Did we get the news after the show?
Okay. So.
You know what? We did, because I neglected to tell you that we have one more guest who's coming up. In place of the usual history lesson, we are going to be talking to one of our Civic Media colleagues right here, John Scott, the marketing director at Civic Media, who met and interviewed Brian Wilson at a concert once upon a time, and is going to tell us all about that, about meeting the man who really created the Beach Boys. Yes, Roger writes on Stevens Point, from Stevens Point on Facebook, definitely a musical genius. His favorite Beach Boys song is God Only Knows. And I will tell you that we are going to lead the segment off with that coming up in just over half an hour. And I, too, am going to break up a little bit, because God Only Knows does that for me as well. It's just a beautiful masterpiece of a song. And Brian Wilson was, a genius. There's just no other word for it. A tortured genius, quite literally, it turns out. And I don't know the degree to which the movie Love and Mercy, I don't know how much of it was fictionalized, how much of it was fictionalized in a way that was completely off base. But if that movie truly grabs the essence of Brian Wilson and both his genius and his complications, then that was time well spent for me watching it a couple of years back. And I would highly recommend it to you as well, the movie Love and Mercy, to learn much more about the late Brian Wilson, who passed away yesterday, I guess, at the age of 82 years old. All right, well, coming up, we're going to hear from Melissa Baldoff. We're going to hear from Sherita Booker as well about some of the events that you can attend around Wisconsin coming up this weekend. That's right. two guests along the way before too much longer. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be talking about our Confederate president renaming military bases again right after this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know, it's not that often anymore in Major League Baseball that you see a pitcher go all nine innings, but Atlanta managed to get a complete game out of Spencer Schwellenbach as Atlanta beat the Milwaukee Brewers on Wednesday 6-2. Atlanta took two out of three from the Brewers at American Family Field. Rhys Hoskin homered in the second for the Brewers. Christian Yelich missed his second consecutive game with a swollen right wrist. He was hit by a pitch at Philadelphia on June 1st, and then he aggravated the injury on a slide last weekend. So up next for the Brewers, a four-game homestand against division rival St. Louis. The Brewers' pitching phenom, I hear that word used a lot with this kid, Jacob Mizorowski, makes his major league debut tonight. So this could be the start of something great for the Brewers, or not. I think back to Garrett Mitchell. Remember that first game or two, and we just thought, oh my God, we've just seen the future of this team. And then he got injured and was out for a year. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Miz here. I'm just saying I'm hoping for the best for the Brewers' new pitcher, Jacob Mizorowski, making his debut tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. Pregame starts at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations around the state. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Of course, the WIAA Girls Softball Championships are underway in Madison. We'll have Mike Clemens on tomorrow to break down how the postseason is going in high school sports. And in the NBA Finals last night, Indiana won again. They beat Oklahoma City to take a 2-1 lead, final score 116-107. It says here, every time Indiana has lost a game in the last 3 months, it simply has come back to win the next one, including here in the finals. Game four will be Friday in Indiana. All right, well, let's check in on President Donald Jefferson Davis Trump as he dredges up Confederate names, but not really, he says. Get a load of how he is technically not renaming some of our military bases after Confederate figures. You'll recall that, you know, 5 years ago or so, as we had a national reckoning on race and relations and history, and finally some folks had the light bulb go off and go, why do we still have military bases that are named for sworn enemies of the United States who once served the United States, but then in the Civil War fought for the Confederacy, were leaders of the Confederacy, who led the Confederacy as president of the Confederacy? Why are we still using those names? Finally ditched them 2 years ago. It took a little money, it took a little time, but it got done. And here comes Donald Trump and friends saying, no, we'd rather have the racist names on, but we're not actually going to put the racist names on there. Give a listen. In Georgia, there's Fort Eisenhower. Okay. Everybody knows President Dwight Eisenhower. But the name's going to revert back to Fort Gordon, originally named for John Brown Gordon, a Confederate slave owner and Ku Klux Klan member. This time around now, the Army says the base is going to be renamed for Master Sergeant Gary Gordon, who fought in the Battle of Mogadishu in Somalia. Wink. Fort Gregg Adams will revert back to Fort Lee. Not Robert E. Lee, of course. No. Fort Lee is now going to be honored for Private Fitz Lee for his heroism during the Spanish-American War. Wink. Of course, President Trump managed to screw up his already lame attempt at being cute, because instead of saying Fort Lee, he said the new name of the fort would be Fort Robert E. Lee. No, it's not. It's going to be Fort Lee, because it's not named for Robert E. Lee. You know what I mean? Fort Walker, this one's crazy. Fort Walker will become Fort A.P. Hill again. A.P. Hill, but not for the original Confederate. No. This A.P. Hill is going to be named for Medal of Honor recipients Lieutenant Colonel Edwin Hill, First Sergeant Robert A. Pinn, P-I-N-N, and Private Brian Anderson for their heroism during the Civil War. So A.P. Hill, standing for Anderson and Pinn and Hill. Wink. Honestly, if there are any descendants of these families whose names are being appropriated for this, I would love to hear them speak up and say, don't you dare use our loved ones' names so shamelessly to shield your racism. I mean, how much is it going to cost to, again, change all these names? Well, reporters asked the Army, and they wouldn't say. By the way, this comes on the heels of the Navy changing the names of some of its vessels, taking Harvey Milk's name off of one. White Nationalist Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth also wants to remove the names of the first Black Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall and civil rights leader Medgar Evers from vessels. Recall how the Naval Academy temporarily removed more than 300 books from its library, including volumes about the Holocaust, about Jackie Robinson, and more. And again, they eventually got put back, but after an expensive court fight, because racism and homophobia are besties with fiscal hypocrisy riding shotgun. And I cannot still believe that there isn't somebody in this Congress who isn't American enough to stand up and say to a president of their own party, nobody is fooled by this. Nobody is fooled by this when they hear how this all actually came about. This is making a lot of people thrilled. There's a lot of people being made happy about this. Those, of course, would be the reasons why we still have a race problem in this country. And now we're taking this big old step backwards. And the thing is, we're going to take the step forward again. We honest to God are. There will, again, come a day when Trumpism is no more. And it will cost some money and take some time and people will grouse again. But the arc of history will bend toward justice again. I swear, that's the only way this country survives, is we keep fighting and getting the right thing done, despite these stupid setbacks. Melissa Baldoff is coming up next. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Yeah, the cool, wet weather Wisconsin's been experiencing causing a couple issues with our winter wheat. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension Small Grain Specialist, keeping an eye on the situation. He said Wisconsin farms need to be scouting those winter wheat fields now.
I know there are some reports of stripe rust out there, and most of the applications that are targeting for Fusarium head blight or scab will also control that as well. Just check the labels. But, you know, southern Wisconsin, if you drive around the wheat fields, you can see most of those fields have already been sprayed. But as we start moving north into like Door County, Green Bay area where we grow a lot of winter wheat, I think farmers should really focus on that. And given the weather we've had right now, the heavy dews, the high humidity, I mean, I think spraying for Fusarium head blight or scab should be automatic this year. It should be a no-brainer.
Advice from Dr. Sean Conley, our University Extension Small Grain Specialist. Well, as we get started on a Thursday morning, looking at a new Wisconsin State FFA officer team, and looking at Red Ink in Chicago. Both updates are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
Congratulations to our new state FFA officer team, including Harley Prill from Bloomer, Tanyelle Ducombe from Stanley Boyd, Corbin Weber from Cochrane Fountain City, Ava Ford from Prairie du Chien, Sam Mell from DeForest, Brooke Lutke from Partyville, Parker Smith from Loyal, Evan Retzloff from New London, Leighton Sabisky from Berlin, and Max Lutke from Beaver Dam. We'll find out who the new FFA president is later today. Barrel cheese was down a half yesterday at 185 and a half. 40-pound block cheese dropped 2 cents at 186. AA butter was up 2 and a half, 253 a bushel. This morning, December corn's unchanged. November beans are down 3 at 1026. July wheat down 3 at 531. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers, mostly cloudy, with the more of that smoky haze from Canadian wildfires today. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms are going to drop into the low to mid 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 60s to near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
State's Eric Kelder-Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Does President Trump have legal authority to send in troops when the governor doesn't ask for it? Jim Santel will break that down. Also, weather and wine with Brittany Merlone. We talk sports with J.R. Radcliffe. Don't miss
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Social media manager Sharita Booker is back here on this Thursday morning to help us preview coming attractions, something we want to do much more of as we roll through the summer months here. Sharita Booker, welcome. How are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for being here on a Thursday to help us promote things happening in the next weekend. Let's start with a big one down on the Milwaukee Lakeshore, the Lakefront Festival of Art. I know I've been down there. It's been a long time, but I've been down there. It's a big deal, and it is going to get started tomorrow, Friday the 13th. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, and it's actually celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. And from tomorrow through Saturday, the museum's lakefront grounds will be filled with over 145 artists across the country. You can browse and buy everything from paintings and pottery to jewelry and sculptures. There will be live music, dance performances, hands-on art projects for the kids, plus a wine and beer garden and local food vendors. Tickets are $27 at the gate, but you can save a few bucks by buying in advance online for $22. Kids 12 and under get in free thanks to an anonymous donor. And for more information on that and tickets, visit mam.org/LFOA.
All right. And one other note that I see here on their website that I think is worth bringing up is that there will be these outdoor vendors, and they only accept digital payments. Cash is accepted inside the museum. But if you're going to the Lakefront Festival, and I'm sure you're seeing this more often as well, Sharita, where they're going cashless. And so you got to have either that phone app or a credit card handy.
I prefer it that way. I don't even carry cash.
Yeah, and more people all the time are like that, but I thought it'd be a good idea just to warn folks ahead of time. All right, so that's Friday and into the weekend. Now let's get into the weekend on Saturday, where it's June Dairy Month, of course, and so there will be all kinds of breakfasts on the farm, and there's one happening for Dane County over in Cambridge coming up.
Yeah, and we know June Dairy Month is a big deal here in Wisconsin. So Dane County Breakfast on the Farm is this Saturday at Hinchley's Dairy Farm in Cambridge. It runs from 7 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And it's your chance to enjoy a free real farm style breakfast that includes eggs, sausage, pancakes, yogurt, cheese, milk, and even ice cream. You'll get to tour the farm, meet some cows, check out antique tractors, and enjoy kid friendly activities and live entertainment. It's just $10 for adults, $5 for kids 3 to 11, and little ones under 2 are free. And just a heads up, they're only taking cash or check at the gate. If you want more info, head to danecountydairy.org. And breakfast on the farm is the classic Wisconsin tradition. So if you don't live around Dane County, you may be able to find one in the area near you. It's a great way to support local farmers.
And I've got one more related in that vein. Also on Saturday is the Washington County Dairy Breakfast. It's also the classic Green Reunion Tractor Show. Our friend Sheila Everhart, who was in here last week, gave us all that information. Breakfast will be served at the Washington County Fair Park. It's all-you-can-eat pancakes, scrambled eggs, cheese, sausage, applesauce, milk, and the Maple Woods Dairy Farm on Pleasant Valley Road is where that's being handled from 7 to noon. And again, that's all part of June Dairy Month activities. In this case, part of the Classic Green Reunion Tractor Show in Washington County. And we've got one more weekend event to talk about. That would be the Door County Beer Festival on Saturday.
Yep, that's happening this Saturday in Bailey's Harbor at the About Time Farm. There'll be more than 150 craft beers from over 40 Midwest breweries to sample, local food, and live music. You can grab early access tickets for $75, which include early access to all tasting tents, or general admission tickets for $55. Either way, you'll get unlimited tastings and a souvenir glass. And if you're worried about getting there, they've got free shuttles running all day from spots in Sister Bay, Egg Harbor, and Bailey's Harbor. So you can get your tickets and all the details at DoorCountyBeerFestival.com.
You know who's missing out on all this stuff? All those happy little Democrats who are gathering in Wisconsin Dells this weekend for their state convention, where they will be electing a new state party chair. So for all those folks, you're going to have to find other Dairy Month breakfast to go to, because you're going to be doing some very busy things coming up this weekend in Wisconsin Dells. Just a busy weekend all around, Sherita. Thank you so much for telling us all about it. Hope you have a good weekend yourself.
You too, Pat.
Oh, let me straighten up one thing. Okay, I think I conflated a couple of things over in Washington County. Parking and the breakfast will be served at the Washington County Fairgrounds. The activities and the ice cream sundaes will be held on the farm. And again, those websites are all either, let's go to the Washington County one first, WashingtonCountyDairy.com. The breakfast on the farm for Dane County is DaneCountyDairy.org. The Milwaukee Art Museum Lakefront Festival of the Arts is MAM, Milwaukee Art Museum, MAM.org/LFOA, Lakefront Festival of the Arts, and DoorCountyBeerFestival.com, DoorCountyBeerFestival.com, for some of the events that Sherita was talking about. All right, now let's shift gears. If you missed it toward the end of the show yesterday, we talked to Melissa Baldoff, who, along with doing our climate check and along with being Joe Zepecki, candidate for state party chair, is also a former deputy chief of staff to Governor Tony Evers. And so we asked her yesterday if she had any thoughts on the recent Dan Schaefer column about maybe not running for a third term. Let's play a little of that back. I put this thing up on my Facebook page, and there was some spirited responses right away. Here's one of those spirited responders right now, Melissa Baldoff, who has her climate check, but also is a former advisor to Governor Evers. Melissa, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. I'm glad we're going to get a couple minutes to talk about this here. And, I said this on your, commented on your Facebook post, and I'll say it again here. I have known and worked with Dan for years, and I really appreciate what he's doing with the recombobulation area. I have the utmost respect for him, personally and professionally. But, you know, even our friends get it wrong sometimes. And I think Dan's really got it wrong here. Not only do I just disagree with, the take, I think it is a just a gift to Republicans who want to see a fight among Democrats. They want to see disunity. They want us to be divided and attacking one another. And it's, an attack that they want to make as well. So I think that this is, giving them a gift for one. And I think that the broader concern, setting aside what Republicans are going to do, because we know we have some ideas about what they're going to do. This is, I think, kind of flies in the face of what we think, what we can kind of expect from voters and what we're seeing already, what we're hearing already, that with all of the chaos happening in D.C., Trump and his very public breakup with Elon Musk and all that's going on with that, no expectation that things are going to get calm and sane and easy and rational and effective anywhere around the White House anytime soon. People are really going to be looking for calm, steady, trusted leadership at the state level. And that's what they're going to get with Tony Evers. That's what they've always gotten from Governor Evers. There is a reason that since he was elected, he has been the most popular and the most trusted elected official in the state of Wisconsin when you look at Marquette polling. So I think that is something that we really have to take into account here. We're also, I know that there were comparisons to other leaders. And look, I am somebody who works very hard to ensure that the people representing us are less old, male, straight, and white. And I get it. I understand, I understand where the conversation is coming from, but I think on this particular one, I think it just misses the mark.
It was always going to be talked about this weekend at the state Democratic convention. Regardless, I obviously even more so now, I think people were holding back, and you know, Dan has definitely found a way to be a conversation starter on this. But again, the governor's made very clear he's going to decide after the budget's all done and then make his announcement. I don't know that anything that's said or done this weekend is necessarily going to accelerate that timeline. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that the like you said, the governor's been pretty clear. And at the same time, though, you know, I in my experience working for him and, you know, what I've seen from him publicly and privately, he's a very honest dealer. And if something were to change his timeline for some reason, I think he'd be very transparent with people about that and, you know, what the reason for was for that. But I think we have every reason to trust him when he says he's going to make a decision after the budget.
That's Melissa Baldoff. And when we visited yesterday, we then made the transition into our climate check. And we talked all about Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy saying that the Biden era fuel economy standards for cars and trucks are illegal and moved to reverse them. Always taking the side of big oil and less fuel efficient cars whenever possible. And again, Duffy, like Trump, continue to spout off falsely about a so-called EV mandate. There is no EV mandate. There's an air quality mandate. If you can reach it with a mixture of EVs and fossil fuel burning cars, then go for it. If you'd rather have the, you know, the dirty air and the gas guzzlers and direct more American consumers to buying imported cars that are more fuel efficient, that's a choice that you can make. And that's one that the Trump administration has made. Now, if you wanted to hear that full segment with Melissa Baldoff, including everything else that we had to say about climate issues and the column about Governor Evers by Dan Schaefer, well, you can listen back to past episodes. You just head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Better yet, subscribe to us as a podcast. If you're part of the cult of Apple, like I am, which I thought that's all there ever was, you would just put Apple Podcasts on. But for Android and a whole lot of people that don't want to do everything by Apple, there is Spotify. And we would highly recommend heading over to Spotify and subscribing to our podcast there as well. We'd love to have you as a subscriber for that. Looking at some of the other stories that we've got on our website online at upnorthnewswi.com, there's one all about fly fishing in Wisconsin, which I frankly don't really think much about because I'm out here on a lake where a deep lake where people are looking for muskie and walleye, and I don't appreciate nearly enough all the fly fishing done for trout around Wisconsin. And so we've got an article there that has you covered from peaceful trout streams to rivers with salmon. There are six different ones to check out. There's the Wolf River, which is one of only two designated national scenic rivers in Wisconsin, where you can catch rainbow trout, brown trout, brook trout, in addition to sturgeon. There's the Kickapoo River. The West Fork is regarded as a great spot for both wet and dry fly fishing, the article says, for brook and brown trout. Let's see. There's also a stretch of the Peshtigo River right below the Johnson Falls Dam, called one of the best fly fishing spots in all of Wisconsin, with a variety of species, as well as walleye, pike, and muskie. There's the Rush River that rises near Baldwin in St. Croix County and flows toward Pierce County, a tributary of the Mississippi, considered one of the best for trout fishing by the DNR. You can also catch smallmouth bass and other medium temperature species. And more are listed there as well. So look for that six best fly fishing spots in Wisconsin by Sam Cohen on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up next, we are going to have a very different daily history lesson, basically the history of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Look, I'll be honest, the pickings were slim today anyway, so I really want to take advantage instead of talking to one of our colleagues, John Scott, who has met with Brian Wilson, interviewed him, and we're going to talk about that next. You're up north.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Break yourself free from that desk and come work for Civic Media, a rapidly growing network which has positions open in Park Falls, Hayward, and Amory, Wisconsin that focus on prospecting and new account acquisitions. The ideal candidate will have prior media advertising sales experience and success, reliable transportation, and a connection to the communities in which they would sell. This position pays a base salary plus generous commissions and exceptional additional benefits. To see a full description, go to civicmedia.us and look at careers. Apply at civicmedia.us or send your resume directly to darla.isham@civicmedia.us. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer that is committed to diversity and inclusion in the workplace.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This, of course, is God Only Knows by Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. And I have to apologize on the front end. I mentioned earlier the song still guts me. I was 14 years old when my little brother passed away at the age of 9. And we played this song at the funeral. So you'd think the years would maybe heal some of this stuff, but it doesn't. And it just goes to tell you more about the artistic genius that was Brian Wilson and what he brought to the Beach Boys in their earliest phases of surf music, when things got more complex through Pet Sounds, and then through the rest of his history, which the phrase I use, I think quite appropriately, is tortured genius. And among the many people fortunate enough to get to meet and interview Brian Wilson over the years includes John Scott, who is the Civic Media Director of Marketing, and he joins us now. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat.
Thank you so much for being here. You talked to him in California in 2007, correct?
Yeah, he played a show at the Harmony Festival. It's kind of a county fair with a little extra hippie added in.
Okay. And look, by 2007, I mean, you know, the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson and others, you know, they were playing all over the place. So they were much more accessible than in their days when they were filling up stadiums. But by 2007, tell me a bit more about, you know, how you got to meet them and what the interview was like.
I've had the great privilege over this career to be able to interview a lot of famous people. I've had the privilege of interviewing presidents and actors and rock stars, and it was just a nice perk of the job that I had. And I had a couple of connections to get up to this event, and we did a live broadcast that afternoon, I recall. And I was flabbergasted at the thought of being able to meet Brian Wilson and talk to him. And even after meeting lots of people, this guy's an icon. He's a legend. And I was a little intimidated, but he was having a really good day that day. And our conversation was fluid and friendly. And I went back to kind of just rejigger how that all went. But he was amazing. He spent an hour with me. And then I got to go backstage when he played his set with his band later on, Pat.
Obviously, he's been asked a lot of the same questions over and over again, but I wonder if you could tell us a bit more about, you know, the questions that you asked. What did you especially get out of it? What did you learn that really stuck with you in being able to do some Q&A with Brian Wilson?
That's an awesome question, and you're absolutely right. When someone has done something as long as he has, he's been asked everything over and over and over again. There is one thing that I will take away from our conversation. I don't remember 30 of the other questions I asked him because it was a while ago. But I said, how do you write a song? And he told me to envision a piece of canvas on an easel that's blank. And then you begin with the background color. Let's say it's blue. You paint blue on the back of the easel. That's Brian Wilson at a piano starting to work out the initial melodies of the song. And then he said, you add a tree or a sun or some grass, or, you know, you start layering it on. He said that he could see the whole song in his head before it was even finished, just by starting with that blank canvas, him at a piano, just working it out. Isn't that really something? I've never thought of it that way before.
I've heard that before about some folks who basically see music. They see the colors. And I remember getting that impression from the movie about him as well. And did you get to talk at all about that transition, if you will? You know, he was so pigeonholed initially as a California surfer dude, and all the music was going to sound the same. And, you know, between the creative competition with the Beatles and others, it feels like he really got to come out of his creative shell in that moment. Did you guys get to cover that kind of transition at all?
I think we did. I went back. I was able to find the set list of the show. So I know what songs he played. Okay. And most of them were Beach Boys songs. But he had a really good band, as I recall. And he did some of his own material. And he just pretty much said that he enjoyed playing those old songs. I said, you're not tired of them? He goes, why would you be tired of them? They made his whole life. But he enjoyed, you know, again, this is 2007. So he's through the real turbulent 80s and 90s where he was really going through some mental health issues and stuff. But he said he felt freer to experiment and kind of just do his own thing.
And that's really all he was looking for, was that creative piece, you know, which is tough to get when you're competing with a record label or when you're having artistic differences in your group. And so I'm glad that he got the chance to do these, essentially solo gigs and be his own person. And it was so nice of you to put up a remembrance about that in the company chat so we could hear more about it. I'm glad you're willing to share that. It clearly stuck with you, that visit that day.
Not all of them do, but this one did, and I'll always be grateful for my time with him, Pat.
John Scott is the Director of Marketing for Civic Media, and we are so fortunate that you were able to and willing to share some memories of Brian Wilson with us today. John, thank you so much again. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks very much.
Okay. Appreciate it so much. Again, you can see why I wanted to clear the decks and just learn much more about Brian Wilson and what all you could glean from being able to. I've always wanted to talk to songwriters. I always think of people like, Don Henley, for example, but there are so many others. And just get that sense for something I could never do. I could never write music or anything like that. And they can, and they write these masterpieces. And I feel very fortunate that Brian Wilson was willing to share some of his difficult but beautiful life with us. So thank you again to John Scott for that. Much more ahead in the next hour here of our mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston.
Hello, that's
you. Combing through the wreckage in Northwest India, rescue teams on the scene of an Air India plane crash in a residential area in the city of Ahmedabad. We have just learned the nationalities of those on board the flight, which was headed to London's Gatwick Airport. At the foreign desk, ABC's James Longman.
Of those on board, Air India says 169 are Indian nationals, 53 British, 7 Portuguese, and 1 Canadian. Now, the plane is 11 years old, and the Indian Civil Aviation Authority has been quick to point out the pilot had 8,200 hours of flying experience. But it is, of course, much too early to know the cause of this crash.
The plane is 787 Dreamliner, the first crash ever of this type of Boeing plane. That city has a population of about 5 million people. The plane would have been loaded with fuel when it went down less than a minute after takeoff. This is ABC News. Local.